4. The next morning I woke up at 0800 hours, my brothers, and as I still felt shagged and fagged and fashed and bashed and my glasses were stuck together real horror show with sleep glue, I thought I would not go to school. I thought how I would have a malinky bit longer in the bed, an hour or two, say, and then get dressed nice and easy, perhaps even having a splosh about in the bath, and then brew a pot of real strong horror show chai and make toast for myself and slushy the radio or read the Gazetta all on my oddy knocky. And then, in the after lunch, I might perhaps, if I still felt like it, itty off to the old scollywole to see what was vereating in that great seat of gloopy, useless learning, oh my brothers. I heard my papapa grumbling and trampling and then ittying off to the dye works where he rabbited, and then my mum called in a very respectful gloss, as she did now I was growing up big and strong. "It's gone 8, son. You don't want to be late again." So I called back, "A bit of pain in my gulliver. Leave us be and I'll try to sleep it off and I'll be right as dodgers for this after." I slooshed her give a sort of sigh and she said, "I'll put your breakfast in the oven then, son. I've got to be off myself now." Which was true. There being this law for everybody not a child, nor with child, nor ill, to go out rabbiting. My mother worked at one of the state marts, as they called them, filling up the shelves with tinned soup and beans and all that cow. So I slooshed her clank a plate in the gas oven like, and then she was putting her shoes on, and then getting her coat from behind the door, and then sighing again. Then she said, "I'm off now, son." But I let on to be back in sleepland, and then I did doze off real horror show, and I had a queer and very real, like, sneety, dreaming for some reason of my droog Georgie. In this sneety, he'd got, like, very much older and very sharp and hard and was govereating about discipline and obedience and how all the malchicks under his control had to jump hard at it and throw up the old salute like being in the army. And there was me, in line, like the rest, saying yes, sir, and no, sir. And then I vidded clear that Georgie had these stars on his plechos, and he was like a general. And then he brought in old Dim with a whip, and Dim was a lot more starry and grey and had a few zoobies missing, as you could see when he let out a smeck, viddying me, and then my droog Georgie said, pointing like at me, "That man has filth and cow all over his platties." And it was true. Then I creech, "Don't hit, please don't, brothers," and started to run. And I was running in like circles, and Dim was after me, smacking his gulliver off, cracking with the old whip. And each time I got a real horror show toll chop with this whip, there was like a very loud electric bell ring, ring, ringing, and this bell was like a sort of pain too. Then I woke up real scorry, my heart going bat, 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 and of course there was really a bell going brrrr, and it was our front door bell. I let on that nobody was at home, but this brrrr still ittied on, and then I heard a galos shouting through the door, "Come on then, get out of it, I know you're in bed." I recognised the galos right away. It was the galos of PR Deltoid, a real gloopy naz, that one. What they called my post-corrective advisor, an overworked vec with hundreds on his books. I shouted, "Right, right, right," in a galos of, like, pain, and I got out of bed and attired myself, oh my brothers, in a very lovely overgown of, like, silk with designs of, like, great cities all over this overgown. Then I put my nogas into very comfy woolly tufles, combed my luscious glory, and was ready for PR Deltoid. When I opened up, he came shambling in looking shagged, a battered old schlapper on his gulliver, his raincoat filthy. "Ah, Alex, boy," he said to me, "I met your mother, yes. She said something about a pain somewhere. hence not at school, yes. A rather intolerable pain in the head, brother sir, I said in my gentleman's galosse. I think it should clear by this afternoon.
Or certainly by this evening, yes, said P.R. Deltoid. The evening is the great time, isn't it, Alex boy? Sit, he said, sit. Sit, as though this was his domey and me his guest. And he sat in this starry rocking chair of my dad's and began rocking as if that was all he'd come for. I said, a cup of the old chai, sir, tea, I mean. No time, he said, and he rocked, giving me the old glint under frowning brows, as if with all the time in the world. No time, yes, he said, gloopy. So I put the kettle on. Then I said, to what do I owe the extreme pleasure? Is anything wrong, sir? Wrong, he said, very scorry and sly, sort of hunched, looking at me, but still rocking away. Then he caught sight of an advert in the Gazetta, which was on the table, a lovely, smecking young petitza with her grudies hanging out to advertise my brother's The Glory of the Yugoslav Beaches. Then, after sort of eating her up in two swallows, he said, why should you think in terms of there being anything wrong? Have you been doing something you shouldn't? Yes. Just a manner of speech, I said, sir. Well, said P.R. Deltoid, it's just a manner of speech from me to you that you watch out, little Alex, because next time, as you very well know, it's not going to be the corrective school any more. Next time, it's going to be the Barry place and all my work ruined. If you have no consideration for your horrible self, you at least might have some for me, who have sweated over you. A big black mark, I tell you, in confidence for everyone we don't reclaim. A confession of failure for every one of you that ends up in the stripy hole. I've been doing nothing I shouldn't, sir, I said. The Millicents have nothing on me, brother. Sir, I mean. Cut out this clever talk about Millicents, said P.R. Deltoid, very weary, but still rocking. Just because the police have not picked you up lately doesn't, as you very well know, mean you've not been up to some nastiness. There was a bit of a fight last night, wasn't there? There was a bit of shuffling with nozzies and bike chains and the like. One of a certain fat boy's friends was ambulanced off late from near the power plant and hospitalised, cut about very unpleasantly, yes. Your name was mentioned. The word has got through to me by the usual channels. Certain friends of yours were named also. There seems to have been a fair amount of assorted nastiness last night. Oh, nobody can prove anything about anybody as usual, but I'm warning you, little Alex, being a good friend to you as always, the one man in this sore and sick community who wants to save you from yourself. I appreciate all that, sir, I said, very sincerely. Yes, you do, don't you? He sort of sneered. Just watch it, that's all, yeah? We know more than you think, little Alex. Then he said, in a galosse of great suffering, but still rocking away, what gets into you all? We study the problem, and we've been studying it for damn well near a century, yes, but we get no farther with our studies. You've got a good home here, good loving parents. You've got not too bad of a brain. Is it some devil that crawls inside you?
Nobody's got anything on me, sir,
I said. I've been out of the Rookers of the Millicents for a long time now.
That's just what worries me, sighed P.R. Deltoid. A bit too long of a time to be healthy. You're about due now, by my reckoning, and that's why I'm warning you, little Alex, to keep your handsome young proboscis out of the dirt, yes? Do I make myself clear?
As an unmuddied lake, sir, I said. Clear as an azure sky of deepest summer. You can rely on me, sir. And I gave him a nice zoob. But when he'd ockadeated and I was making this very strong pot of chai, I grinned to myself over this vesh that P.R. Deltoid and his droogs worried about. All right, I do bad. What with crasting and tolchocks and calves with the Britva and the old in-out, in-out. And if I get loveted, well, too bad for me, oh my little brothers. And you can't run a country with every chelovit comporting himself in my manner of the night. So if I get loveted and it's 3 months in this mesto and another 6 in that, and then, as P.R. Deltoid so kindly warns, next time, in spite of the great tenderness of my Summers brothers, it's the great unearthly zoo itself, well, I say, fair but a pity, my lords, because I just cannot bear to be shut in. My endeavour shall be, in such future as stretches out its snowy and lily-white arms to me before the noz overtakes or the blood spatters its final chorus in twisted metal and smashed glass on the high road, to not get loveted again. Which is fair speeching, but brothers, this biting of their toenails over what is the cause of badness is what turns me into a fine laughing malchick. They don't go into what is the cause of goodness. So why of the other shop? If ludies are good, that's because they like it, and I wouldn't ever interfere with their pleasures. And so, of the other shop, and I was patronising the other shop. More, badness is of the self, the one, the you or me, on our oddy knockies, and that self is made by old Bog or God, and is his great pride and radesty. But the not-self cannot have the bad, meaning they of the government and the judges and the schools cannot allow the bad because they cannot allow the self. And is not our modern history, my brothers, the story of brave, malenki selves fighting these big machines? I am serious with you, brothers, over this. But what I do because I like to do. So, this smiling winter morning, I drink this very strong chai with maloko and spoon after spoon after spoon of sugar, me having a sladky tooth, and I dragged out of the oven the breakfast my poor old mum had cooked for me. It was an egg, fried. That, and no more. But I made toast and ate egg and toast and jam, smacking away at it while I read the Gazetta. The Gazetta was the usual about ultraviolence and bank robberies and strikes and footballers making everybody paralytic with fright by threatening to not play next Saturday if they did not get higher wages, naughty malchicky wicks as they were. Also, there were more space trips and bigger stereo TV screens and offers of free packets of soap flakes in exchange for the labels on soup tins, amazing offer for 1 week only, which made me smeck. And there was a bolshy big article on modern youth, meaning me, so I gave the old bow, grinning like Bazoomney, by some very clever, bald Chelovic. I read this with care, my brothers, slurping away at the old chai, cup after tass after chassa, crunching my lomticks of black toast dipped in jammy wham and eggy wegg. This learned vec said the usual veshes about no parental discipline, as he called it, and the shortage of real horror show teachers who would lambast bloody beggary out of their innocent poops and make them go boo-hoo-hoo for mercy. All this was gloopy and made me smack, but it was nice to go on knowing one was making the news all the time, oh my brothers. Every day there was something about modern youth. But the best vesh they ever had in the old Gazetta was by some starry pop in a doggy collar, who said that in his considered opinion, and he was gover eating as a man of bog, it was the devil that was abroad, and was like ferreting his way into like young, innocent flesh, and it was the adult world that could take the responsibility for this with their wars and bombs and nonsense. So that was all right. So he knew what he talked of, being a godman. So we, young, innocent Malchiks, could take no blame. Right. 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 When I'd gone irk, irk a couple of razzes on my full, innocent stomach, I started to get out day platties from my wardrobe, turning the radio on. There was music playing, a very nice Malenki string quartet, my brothers, by Claudius Birdman, one that I knew well. I had to have a smeck, though, thinking of what I'd vidded once in one of these light articles on modern youth about how modern youth would be better off if a lively appreciation of the arts could be encouraged. Great music, it said, and great poetry would like quieten modern youth down and make modern youth more civilised. Civilised, my civilised yarbles. Music always sort of sharpened me up, oh my brothers, and made me feel like old Bog himself, ready to make with the old Donner and Blitzen and have Vex and Petitzas creeching away in my ha-ha power. And when I'd cheested up my litzo and rookers a bit and done dressing, my day platties were like student wear, the old blue pantaloonies with sweater with an A for Alex. I thought here at least was time to itty off to the disc boutique and cutter too, my pockets being full of pretty Polly, to see about this long-promised and long-ordered stereo Beethoven No. 9, the choral symphony, that is, recorded on masterstroke by the Esch Sham Symphonia under El Muhawir. So out I went, brothers. The day was very different from the night. The night belonged to me and my droogs and all the rest of the nadsats, and the starry bourgeois lurked indoors drinking in the gloopy worldcasts. But the day was for the starry ones. And there always seemed to be more Rozzies or Millicents about during the day, too. I got the auto bus from the corner and rode to centre, and then I walked back to Taylor Place, and there was the disc boutique I favoured with my inestimable custom, oh my brothers. It had the gloopy name of Melodia, but it was a real horror show mesto and scorry most times at getting the new recordings. I walked in, and the only other customers were two young petitzas sucking away at ice sticks, and this, Mark, was dead cold winter, and sort of shuffling through the new pop discs, Johnny Burnaway, Stash Crow, The Mixers, Lay Quiet a While with Ed and I'd Molotov, and all the rest of that cow. These two petitzas couldn't have been more than 10, and they too, like me it seemed, evidently, had decided to take a morning off from the old scollywoll. They saw themselves, you could see, as real grown-up dvotchkas already, what with the old hip swing when they saw your faithful narrator brothers, and padded grudies and red all ploshed on their goobers. I went up to the counter, making with the polite Zuby smile at old Andy behind it, always polite himself, always helpful, a real horror show type of a vec, though bald and very, very thin. He said, "Aha! I know what you want, I think. Good news, it has arrived." And with, like, big conductor's rookers beating time, he went to get it. The two young petitzas started giggling, as they will at that age, and I gave them a, like, cold glazzy. Andy was back real scorry, waving the great shiny white sleeve of the ninth, which had on it, brothers, the frowning, beetled, like, thunder-bottled litzo of Ludwig van himself. "Here," said Andy, "shall we give it the trial spin?" But I wanted it back home on my stereo to slushy on my oddy nocky, greedy as hell. I fumbled out the deng to pay, and one of the little petitzas said, Who you getting, Bretty? What biggie? What only?
These young Devotchers had their own light way of gabarating.
The Heaven 17, Luke Stern, Golly Goggle.
And both giggled, rocking. Then an idea hit me and made me near fall over with the anguish and ecstasy of it, oh my brothers, so I could not breathe for near 10 seconds. I recovered and made with my new clean zoobies and said, "What you got back home, little sisters, to play your fuzzy warbles on?" Because I could vidy the discs they were buying were these teeny pop veshes. "I bet you got little save tiny portable light picnic spinners." And they sort of pushed their lower lips out at that. "Come with Uncle," I said, "and hear all proper. Hear angel trumpets and devil trombones. You are invited." And I like bowed. They giggled again, and one said,
"Oh, but we're so hungry. Oh, but we could so eat."
The other said,
"Yeah, she can say that, can't she just?"
So I said, "Eat with Uncle. Name your place." Then they vidded themselves as real sophistos, which was like pathetic, and started talking in big lady glosses about the Ritz and the Bristol and the Hilton and Il Ristorante Gran Turco. But I stopped that with "Follow Uncle," and I led them to the pasta parlour just around the corner and let them fill their innocent young litzos on spaghetti and sausages and cream puffs and banana split and hot choc sauce till I near sicked with the sight of it. I, brothers, lunching but frugally off a cold ham slice and a growling dollop of chilli. These two young petitzas were much alike, though not sisters. They had the same ideas, or lack of, and the same colour hair, alike dyed strawy. Well, they would grow up real today. Today, I would make a day of it. No school this after lunch, but education certain, Alex as teacher. Their names, they said, were Marty and Sonietta, bazoomly enough, and in the height of their childish fashion, so I said, "Righty right, Marty and Sonietta, time for the big spin. Come." When we were outside on the cold street, they thought they would not go by auto bus, oh no, but by taxi. So I gave them the humour, though with a real horror show in grin, and I called a taxi from the rank near centre. The driver, a starry, whiskery vec in very stained platties, said, "No tearing up now, no nonsense with them seats, just reupholstered they are." I quieted his gloopy fears, and off we spun to Municipal Flat Block 18A, these two bold little petitzas giggling and whispering. So, to cut all short, we arrived, oh my brothers, and I led the way up to 10-8, and they panted and smecked away the way up, and then they were thirsty, they said, so I unlocked the treasure chest in my room and gave these 10-year young Devotchkas a real horror show Scotchman apiece, though well filled with sneezy pins and needles soda. They sat on my bed, yet unmade, and leg swung, smecking and peating their highballs while I spun their like pathetic Malenki discs through my stereo. Like peating some sweet-scented kid's drink that was in like very beautiful and lovely and costly gold goblets. But they went, "Oh, oh, oh," and said, "Swoony," and "Hilly," and other weird slovos that were the height of fashion in that youth group, while I spun this cow for them, I encouraged them to drink and have another, and they were nothing loath, oh my brothers. So by the time their pathetic pop discs had been twice spun each, there were two, "Honey Nose," sung by Ike Yard, and "Night After Day After Night," moaned by two horrible yarbleless-like eunuchs whose names I forget. They were getting near the pitch of like young Petitsa's hysterics, what with jumping all over my bed and me in the room with them. What was actually done that afternoon, there is no need to describe, brothers, as you may easily guess all. Those two were unplattied
and smacking fit to crack in no time at all, and they thought it the bolshiest fun to vidy old Uncle Alex standing there, all nadjoy and panhandled, squirting the hypodermic like some bear doctor, then giving myself the old jab of growling jungle cat secretion in the rooker. Then I pulled the lovely ninth out of its sleeve so that Ludwig van was now nadjoy too, and I set the needle hissing onto the last movement, which was all bliss. There it was then, the bass strings like govereating away from under my bed at the rest of the orchestra, and then the male human golos coming in and telling them all to be joyful, and then the lovely blissful tune all about joy being a glorious spark like of heaven, and then I felt the old tigers leap in me, and then I leapt on these two young petitzers. This time they thought nothing fun and stopped creeching with high mirth and had to submit to the strange and weird desires of Alexander the Large, which, what with the ninth and the hypo jab, were chudesny and zamachat and very demanding, oh my brothers. But they were both very, very drunken and could hardly feel very much. When the last movement had gone round for the second time with all the banging and creeching about joy, 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 then these two young petitzers were not acting the big lady Sophisto no more. They were like waking up to what was being done to their malenki persons and saying that they wanted to go home and like I was a wild beast. They looked like they'd been in some big bitfa, as indeed they had, and were all bruised and pouty. Well, if they would not go to school, they must still have their education, and education they had had. They were creeching and going ow, ow, ow as they put their platties on, and they were like punchy punching me with their teeny fists as I lay there dirty and nadjoy and fair shagged and fagged on the bed. This young Sonietta was creeching, "Beast and hateful animal, filthy horror." So I let them get their things together and get out, which they did, talking about how the Rozzers should be got on to me and all that cow. Then they were going down the stairs and I dropped off to sleep, still with the old joy, 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 crashing and howling away.